This week's episode of Behind the Billboard is sponsored by Bauer Media Outdoor. We're here.
Young Daniel.
How are we here? How are we?
I'm all right. I don't know if I'm telling you, I've had another celebration. Same thing, 21 again.
I mean, you're just going to milk this birthday for the rest of the year, are you? Like, it's going to be Christmas and you'll be like, it's my birthday. I'm like,
well, yeah, what's quite good is also you get loads of, obviously loads of presents. And I generally said to people, don't give me presents. I don't need any. But then I said, but if you insist, I'll receive.
Yeah. Can we just be clear though? Your birthday was in September and it's now October.
Of 2029. Yeah.
Like, I mean, come on.
No, listen.
Stop milking it.
I'm a big believer.
You've got your bus pass. What else do you need?
I'm a big believer in marking things. You've got to mark them because you'll look back and go, why?
No, I agree. I agree. Yeah. We got to celebrate and we've got some more celebrations to come.
Yeah, no, but everything's good.
Over the next 6 months, we've got more celebrations.
Oh, we've got lots coming. But major celebrations, Man United won one game of football.
I know. Have you seen this guy who's not cutting his hair?
Ah, yeah.
Until United have won 5 games in a row?
Yeah, no.
And I mean, he's been growing it a year now. He's got the biggest... biggest hair I've seen.
He's going to have like a sort.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm pleased I haven't done that one, so I'm safe on that.
Have you seen any powerful posters out and around?
Yes, I have. I mean, we always post them, don't we? But
we've got one in fresh in from our friends at Bauer Media Outdoor. And so let's hear from someone there.
Hello, Behind the Billboard crew. Vicky here, fresh from a copy safari with Ben. We saw loads of work in the wild today, but the work that really got our attention was Tesco's F&F campaign. The ads are gorgeous shots of goings-on in the home or of women in glamorous locations like a hotel or a party. But when you look closely and pay attention to everything in each image, you notice that all is not as it seems. The stylish wine glass has tea in it, the woman in a beautiful dress is stuck at a lift's doors, and the chic white footstool is turned to hide the fact that a kid has drawn all over it, but we see their drawing because it's reflected in a mirror. This one was our favourite one, but they're all as strong as each other. They don't tell a story, they show a story. A brilliant, creative technique that's not used as much as it should be these days. A brand's too scared that audiences won't get the message. Tesco isn't, so their ads make powerful posters.
Amazing stuff. Really, I'm glad good. This segment's working, actually, yeah. Because...
Can I say kudos to you? Because it was your idea to do it like as if it was a phone call.
I like the voice notes.
That's good.
Voice note. We're very modern, yeah, aren't we? Right. As much as I hate a voice note, you send them to me and I text you back because I just can't stand it.
If it's an emergency, it has to be a voice thing, but yeah.
Normally, you're just telling me that your dog's having a shit outside the Emirates again.
But you like visual reference of that as well. Sorry, any Arsenal fans. It's just a Spurs thing.
No, if you're walking into the ground this Saturday and listening to this podcast and you step in a dog shit, you can blame Hugh because his dog does a shit outside that stadium every day.
She just naturally does it. She would probably do a lot more.
In fairness, I would too.
So
who have we got today?
Today, we've got Andy and Rich.
Andy and Rich.
So Andy,
finally,
Andy Clough and Richard McGann. So they're going to be great. They've done so many great posters, and not just that. Everything they do is so well crafted. There's so much work they've done. We had to get it down to.
Was it this time last year that we had them booked, and we ended up doing something else instead?
I think it was
because they were busy on something.
And
else.
We gave them at Neverland a free Behind the Billboard talk.
We did.
Yeah, and then I've made them flapjacks and everything, even though Andy was rude about them last night. So they looked a bit burnt. Yeah, so they're coming in. We're going to talk pot noodle. We're going to do a bit of whiskers, and then we got some serious stuff on calm and melanoma. So it's going to be a really fascinating chat.
He's just texted me. He's outside. Should we go?
Okay,
again?
Let's go. Go. Andy Clough and Richard McGrann, superstar creative team, 5-time Grand Prix winners and general good eggs, welcomed Behind the Billboard.
Yeah, welcome.
You all right?
We've been planning this for a long time.
We have, haven't we?
Sorry.
We've finally nailed him down.
I think it's over a year ago.
Yeah. Been waiting for you to crack his flapjacks. Yeah. To be honest with you, he's been burning them, so.
Hold on. Yeah, Russell. So we're going to chat in a minute. We're going to do
a few... sounded heavy. Did you hear when he dropped it? There was a kind of there was a definite
they're
buttered.
They're not burnt, are they? I hope not. Andy doesn't like burnt ones. So we're going to do the Andy Rich Facts section.
Andy Rich Facts.
So there's so many great facts, but these are three we liked. The last photo campaign for Calm earned Andy and Rich 5 Grand Prix and many more gongs from around the world at shows everywhere, placing them amongst the most awarded creatives at DNAD in Cannes. They've run creative departments at top UK agencies and have been global leads on accounts such as Mars, Pepsi, Unilever and Diageo. They also run big retail accounts, Asda and Currys. They've also done charities like Macmillan. But what they love doing most is writing and making work and coming on podcasts like this one. Yes. So how are you, gents? Tell us what's going on.
We're very well, thank you. Yeah, sorry it's taken so long to come on here, but...
Too busy winning all those awards, right?
Yeah, polishing them, that's it.
Yeah, there's actually a very funny thing on your website, which they do this year by year thing. And every year they've won like this sort of massive stack of awards. But when there's these tiny entries where they haven't, it says something like, Rich had a baby and we needed some sleep or something. It's really well done.
We're definitely in the baby phase now.
Yeah. So what are you doing at the moment? You're freelancing?
Yeah, just freelancing at the minute.
Yeah.
Just wanted to get back into the work. That's what we miss.
Yeah, yeah. Right, well, we're going to go straight into... sorry, it's a little bit chaotic. We've had a slightly strange start here with emergency...
Your flapjacks are in the way.
...phone calls. I'm flapping around my flapjacks. We're going to go for...
the billboard at the end of my street, which is sponsored by Super Optimal.
Thank you, Dan.
Design intelligence for out of home.
So what have we got here? Whose is this one?
That's mine.
Right. Can you describe this? It's not yours, as in you didn't write it.
Well, that's it.
It's a Grand Prix for that.
Actually, yeah.
It's another Grand Prix, Andy.
Yeah, so you can imagine it's sort of someone holding a beer up to a pint of San Miguel, a beautiful sunny day, nice swimming pool, and it says Spanish summer, no matter where. And it's actually in Dolisil where I live, right next to the bins for the local shop and where John, our local greengrocer, puts his rotten fruit. So it actually stinks. So actually... No matter where is actually bollocks, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. That's very nice. And Rich, what have you got for us?
Well, I mean, I've got to confess that I did actually try a lot. There were some good billboards on my way, and I did try really hard to get some good ones.
Yeah.
But I got on the train and realised that they were all digital ones, and they all came out really, really badly, and I couldn't even read them. So I got this absolute belter that I had to jump off the train and go, oh, there's a billboard, and I didn't actually look at it first. But I think it's for someone called XTB, but it's a really catchy headline. Get a free Uber share worth £70 on stocks when you get with 0% commission. And just to follow it up, they've got another 0% commission on the phone, just in case you missed it.
Wow.
With Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And if you didn't know who he was, then they've named him Zlatan Ibrahimovic. So
that's a lot of copy.
That's a lot of copy.
What, what format is that on? Let's have a look.
That is a 6-sheet.
It's probably on for about 3 seconds as well. So
isn't Zlatan definitely?
Is that digital or is it? That's a
no. That is
a backlit.
Definitely, if he's getting 0% on his whatever his FTB is.
He has given his name to quite a lot of things.
Yeah, well, he's not playing anymore, is he? So he's just like royalties.
So how, I mean, this is our little bit to sort of say, you know, what do you think of the industry at the moment? You know, what's out there? Do you think we're in a good space, a good moment for the out-of-home world? Or
I think it's making a bit of a resurgence. I mean, Uncommon's doing some great posters. BBH is doing great, some great work as well. So the work's out there. I think everyone can try harder, do better.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's other agencies as well, like Bennett's and stuff. There seems to be a resurgence of just simplicity. And I think a real poster is better than something fake you see online. Do you know what I mean?
And
we've always loved posters because it's the simplest form of an idea, you know, rather than, and I'm talking about a very, not a digital poster, even though we actually talk about a digital poster later. I think for us, I think simplicity is making a big comeback. I don't know how much we can keep redacting logos and stuff, but it's nice because it, you know, a good poster decorates the street, unlike my Spanish beer one. Well, actually, it probably does decorate the street, actually, because it has the person sleeping behind the billboard. So that's fine.
Because you can't hide behind a you can't hide behind a billboard. Either it works or it doesn't. So you can have a slightly dodgy TV script and get a great director and it comes, get away with it. But poster is a poster. It works or it doesn't.
Yeah. I think we've seen a lot. I mean, we're going to talk about your work in a minute, but there is this sort of, there's beautiful simplicity in everything you guys do, not just posters, but, you know, TV and all the other mediums. So, we're really, really joking.
That resurgence that you're talking about, you know, and are you seeing a bit more, you're freelancing, so you're out in the world with the agencies and moving about a bit. Are you seeing more out of home in the briefs that you're, or in the responses that you're giving to briefs with clients? Is it top more top of mind now for you guys?
I'm not necessarily sure it is. I just think the creatives want to do it.
Okay.
I think, you know, there's only so many times you can say, oh, do something with an influencer, albeit be it. It's really important, and it's obviously the world we live in, but I think people want to do it. I think once you light that fire, people want to chuck some more wood on it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you know, when, you know, obviously Uncommon did the windows, or actually the 500 posters they did when we did Calm. But it feels like, you know, BBH Burgers, and then you've got loads of stuff from Bennett's
and Tesco's from BBH.
It just feels like everyone's going, I want a bit of that.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's really good, isn't it? That's like, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm in somewhere and they go, yeah, we're going to do a poster, but we're just going to use a bit of the TV ad on it. And you're going, yeah, but
it never works.
And you go, but that, there's a clue in the thing, there's TV that works there. And we're going to talk about your Economist thing in a bit, how good it is, why it's so good as a digital out of home. But it's, I love the fact what you've just said about, if there's, you know, just put more fuel on that fire. And hopefully that's what we're doing, isn't it? Is to
I think you see that in the agencies as well. I think that the competitiveness of a creative team, seeing other people's work across a different client, goes, oh, actually, do you know what? I want to do some of that. Like you said, I think it's, you know, if you look back to the B&Q stuff from Uncommon, then it's triggered British Airways, and there's BrewDog, and there's so you can see within the agency, it's gone. People are going, oh, actually, posters again.
But I wonder if it's a thing as well, because obviously the agency model's changed now, and you know, people are quite transient and they don't come in and not. And before, you'd see what the creative in the office was doing next, and you'd be like, oh, great, I want to be doing that. And I wonder whether it's a way of being seen. Because you see that gets in campaign, or
because it's public,
and you see it, you can see it, and you go, I want a bit of that. I need to up my game as well.
Yeah,
well,
it's being seen and being seen quickly, isn't it? Because you go, okay, TV ad, you know, you've got to go pre-prod, you've got to shoot it, you've got to do your post, and then, like you said, Rich, there's other forces at play. But on a simple poster, it can just be you two and a photographer.
I think out of home's always been a fame medium, right? And I think it's something that we talked about last week. I think the unskippable nature of it is in the public domain, and that it's not just for the brand, for the creative team as well. It's like, yeah, I'm doing something that's going to be seen. It's out there. It's not skipped. It's not something that.
And as a creative,
on a different channel,
you wear your heart on your sleeve. It's all very well, and I'm not saying this is the case of some agencies we've worked at, but if you're an account person or something, you can hide behind a bad brief or an execution that comes out because they go, oh, man. But it's not the stuff that's on a billboard that gets a turkey of the week it's yours. So that's why creatives fight really hard to make the work good.
Yep.
Because I think a lot of the briefs that we're getting are kind of anything but TV. So it'll be social activation. You go, what about outdoors? Like, yeah, you can do outdoor. Yeah, I think one thing that Adam and Eve are doing and have done very well over the years is managing to make posters social as well.
Yeah.
And so they'll do a one-off stunt. Marmite, for example, great example of that. Then go and film the hell out of it, and turn that becomes a YouTube film, and that becomes your social as well. So
yeah.
Same for Burger King with the BBH work, wasn't it? With the burgers and the mums.
Yeah.
Made a film off that, you know, and
brilliant. I think you're right. We always talk about the amplification. It's now not people seeing it. If you're lucky enough to see a good one in the real world, but if you don't, you're going to see it on your feed. Because if the machine is taking over and going, right, push it, see it, make a little film, you're going, all right.
Actually, we were talking just outside while we're waiting to come in about Piccadilly Lights. It's another thing, right? It's a fame site. And if you do something out of the ordinary there, it can create content that sits across other channels, because it's public art, you've got interaction, you've got people getting involved with the brand, you can create a story out of a good idea.
Well, that's how many people actually not only walking past that poster every day, but actually taking pictures of it as well?
Some
lovely McDonald's work that won awards with just giving people backgrounds for the selfies.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect.
We're going to move on. We're going to talk about your first billboard. I'm just checking, was that as a team? Your first?
Yeah, it was a Y&R.
Yeah. And how did you guys meet as a team?
We was at uni in 1993. Rich had long hair, I had glasses, and then I also had a 28 waist, which I can tell you now, he's not got long hair, and I've definitely not got 28 waist.
And I've got glasses.
Yeah. And we went at uni, but it was only in the third year we did advertising. Our tutor actually, Tony Daffin, I think, he taught people like Rosie Arnolds and Tony McTeer and stuff. And we were doing graphic design, so we came to London just to look at graphic design place. And he goes, well, I've got, you know, Bob Stanner's over at Burnett's, why don't you go around there? So we went round there, a group of us, they set us a brief. 2 hours later, he comes in with a tray of sandwiches and beers, and we're going, that is amazing. What's this advertising like? Yeah.
Not doing design, it's boring. Everyone, everyone wore black and talk about the size of a single letter.
Like, rotating full stop. Boring. And then we were like, this was amazing. So we just said, well, advertising's for us, and then they changed the course. So I started working Rich Honey in the last 3 months of...
Wow. Uni. So you have been working together...
97. Since 97, probably. Well, our first job was 97, wasn't it?
Christ. So that's still, but that's still not in
2007, obviously.
Phil and, yes. Yeah. I think Phil and Graham, when they came, Graham Story and Phil Cockerell, they were definitely gold medal of what?
Anton Mike have done a stint as well. Mike.
Yeah.
Dickon and Al have done a stint.
Should we create a league table for our 100th episode of the longest running partnerships?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say oldest, but yeah. we got a motor.
First billboard,
so
come
much
on.
Work to go for it. So what have we got here? Pirelli, this is your first ever poster. Can you tell us a bit about it? Explain it.
Yeah, it was Pirelli, and they were sponsoring, they were one of the sponsors of the World Cup. I think it was 1998 in France.
Right.
And we got a chance to use Ronaldo, like the Ronaldo, before he...
Yeah, fat Ronaldo. Yeah.
Before he had a lot of power.
I think it was following up from... Ewan's brilliant Carl Lewis work, but we had to use him. Yeah, they've got a contract with Ronaldo, so we had to use him in some way. Right. And there was Rob and Madge did the brilliant Rio de Janeiro poster.
Right. Did you call him Fat Ronaldo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is.
He's going to sue you for that, you know.
R9.
Sorry, Ronaldo, didn't mean it, mate.
R9.
Keep going, sorry.
I think either we were on placement or this is kind of our first few weeks into the job, but we got this away, and right. Andy got a lovely shoot in Paris, and I got to.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. You know, I mean, I think you know, it's got Ronaldo shooting a goal into the legs of the Eiffel Tower, which, to be honest with you, you know, I play football, but even and I'm not very good, but even I could probably score in the Eiffel Tower. But
it was quite a tricky shoot. The barn door with the banjo,
because he had to show the underneath of his feet,
right?
And so this is the late Ken Griffiths, an amazing photographer, Australian guy, and we went to Milan and Paris to shoot this, and we shot Ronaldo across. We put together about 15 tables, just tied them with like, because you needed a certain angle, just tied them with like zip ties. And you imagine this is the world's best footballer. And we got him to run across these tables and hit this,
right,
you know, penny blow away or whatever.
Because you needed him elevated.
You needed a certain angle to try and force, it's trying to force the shot. Yeah, I mean, it is dated, it is of its time, but you get to meet an icon, and he got some shirts signed, and you know, as a first poster, it's okay.
Are you both football fans?
Yeah, I'm a Liverpool fan. So.
Liverpool,
Man United, and Shrewsbury Town. So I'm kind of my enthusiasm
Shrewsbury definitely
waning.
The sign tops now at the father-in-law's, so I'm not allowed to keep you in the house. So
one of my good mates is Shrewsbury Town and United, so you're in good company. With
I read this morning, and this is all going to be dated because it'll be outdated when you hear it, but Ratcliffe said, Amarin's got 3 more years. It's like, fucking hell.
Well,
three more
games. By the time this goes out in a few weeks, he'll probably be gone.
So. Yeah.
Right, we're going to move on. We're going to talk about the work. So I love a timeline, so I kind of like doing it in roughly in order. So we're going to go to Rainey Kelly. You said your first job. The Times, I remember this, the line is biggest for sport, and I'm going to say big balls. And I'm going to hand it over to you two. Great, just super, super simple, you know, massive rugby ball stuck in the posts, football, you know, taking over the whole of the goal. Tell us a bit about this. You recalled you had something in your sketchbook as well, Andy.
I mean, it was a really, really, it was a USP. You don't get many of those anymore. It's just, it was the Times had more pages of sport than any other newspaper at the time. So we just, we're biggest for sport. What can we do with that? It almost seemed too simple at the time. We just, quick sketch, some different balls. It turned out as some posters.
They are pretty simple, to be honest, if I'm honest.
But that's the thing, isn't it? You go, it's too simple, but it's like, because someone's not going to fuck it up and put a load of stuff on it.
I mean,
so good.
Rainey Kelly was amazing. When they did the reverse takeover or however it was called. Y&R.
Yeah.
You got like Rolfie in there and stuff. All of a sudden, obviously they had a real great heritage of like Virgin Atlantic posters, and we did this to this was Mike and Jerry, wasn't they?
Oh, Mike and Jerry. And we had
Mike
a really,
Jerry,
really, really good department.
Mike
there.
And Jerry,
Mike and Jerry were there. Phil and Graham.
Pip and Chris.
Pip and Chris.
But Mike and Jerry were just
Denny.
Denny. It was just Rick visually Rim. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
They're and I think we learned a lot from them because theirs was about simplicity and they did some amazing Land Rover stuff.
But then when you, sorry to jump in, so you do this, the idea of the big balls.
Yeah.
But did you do any others which didn't make it through, like, I'm going to say golf ball, squash ball?
Yeah, they're in my book. Tennis. In my book, yeah.
But they're not on, they didn't run because I remember.
Oh, no, we didn't make any, they didn't run.
Ah.
But it's funny because the, you know, the Marmite thing that we talked about, Marmite with the special build poster
with the dynamite.
Yeah, we sort of, not that we said we did that because that sounds a bit an idiot, but we wanted to do that. And this is when ambient was the thing. We wanted to do that where the ball had come off the poster and hit a van and stuff like that. But
can we take a photo of that?
Yeah, and then there was other ones like sort of like we wanted to try and take over and do a giant dart in a dartboard. And look, it's quite a simple campaign, but visually for a poster, it was really lovely. And I shot the cricket one in Tangier, but you wouldn't know it.
We got to go to Cape Town to do some idents off the back of this as
well.
Oh,
yeah, we did, yeah. Nick Meek got his camera equipment
so
nicked.
So Nick shot these?
Nick, yeah, but you look at these. It was beginning of sort of Nick's career and he'd done a couple of stuff for Ski Club of Great Britain for us, hadn't he?
He was doing a lot more Land Rover. So
yeah.
The agency was using him a lot. This isn't his normal sort of style, but he's a great photographer.
We really need to get him on. Nick has done so much good.
But he's a very technical photographer as well. He can do things like that.
Someone in the US will have seen your book because I remember seeing something for a basketball ad where they put a big hoop up on a billboard and a ball had crushed a car underneath it. So it looks identical to your
maybe the thinking isn't that deep. If you look at it, they're probably going to go, you know, it looks like it comes straight off the brief.
No, but the way it's art directed and put together has it still has subtlety.
It's great.
And you know, it's a great one to start with, isn't it? Right. So anyway, we're going to move on.
You've got two great starters. You've got your first billboard, great story with them. Yeah. And then you've got this as the first one in the list.
Yeah. The rest is history. Right. Yeah. We'll finish the episode now. So after Rainy Kelly, we know you went to BBH, did lots of interesting work there, but there was no real posters of note. We're going to take you to Abbotmead.
Yep.
There was plenty of work. There was worked on Axe Links and Tango and things like that, but probably can't show them in public anymore. So we're not going to bring them onto the podcast.
There was a fun one where we saved Tango, but you said we couldn't put everything in, so we skipped.
They're quite interesting lines, some of those. And we'll put them in the appendix.
Links and Axe had a love affair with Out of Home, and then kind of it fell off a cliff. Everything went social, and then it kind of came back a bit, didn't it?
I mean, it was of its time, joking aside, you know, the Links effect, and you know, you just kind of go, right, okay. It was great for a while.
And yeah, it was brilliant.
And it changed.
But even when we were at BBH, you know, we've got to move on quickly. But even there was a sense that it all needed changing. So all the briefs were already coming in to remove away from the Links effect. And everyone was like, I don't want to do that because it's easy to, I won't say it's easy to write to. It was brilliant to write to.
Yeah. I remember saying to Hegarty, sorry, I always say this, but like, I said, John, isn't the Links effect a bit like Heineken, you know? Refreshes parts. He goes, yes, Hugh, and whatever was wrong with Heineken? And I was like, oh God, just embarrassed, just left the office, vowing never to question anything ever again.
I remember one of the Links ones with the spaceman, with you could win a, I think they ran a whole competition all year for someone to
Wes and Gaz, wasn't it?
Be sent to space. And we created this massive 50-foot spaceman and hung it from the top of Westfield Shopping Mall. With a screen behind the visor, and people could submit their photos.
A bit like the Superman thing.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
They did for, before that, though.
Look, we're going to have to calm it down and go to some cat food. Sorry now. so, we're going to talk about Whiskers at Abbotmead. So, this is I'd never seen this campaign. I love it. It's about a cat's instinct. What was the line? Sorry. Feeding your cat's instinct. So, was that on the brief? Was that your. Were you given that, or did you sort of get there? You know, were you trying to sort of shake up the cat? Agree.
I think Braze had done a TV ad with kind of a wild cat in the garden with, and then just showing how its behaviour was very similar to your everyday kitty. So the brief was the line was the same. So it was a kind of take that thought and take it into print.
Well, they reckon like your cat would eat you if it was big enough, because they think they've obviously evolved from big cats. So we just juxtapose. And to be fair, it was funny because there's a couple of teams as well as like that have. The work, like, they went, oh, but they've done that. And I think actually because it was such an interesting premise, people are going, oh, let's chuck that in. And we ended up working together with, like, there was Dickon and Alan Sunny, actually.
Yeah.
Did a few of these. But I didn't get to go on the shoot, so I'm really jealous of this. Al went to Africa with George Logan, who's like a renowned photographer who's all for like conservation.
I was writing the notes last night thinking, can't have gone away. That's just a stock shot and just do a bit of retouching.
No, he shot the animals. Oh, so the animals have been shot.
That's brilliant.
They were either all shot or you'll have to get Dick and Al on and speak to them, but... or whether they were George's shots. But George Logan, who's incredible.
Well, George Logan, he's another one. Yeah, but you know what? So is this me, because we're in 2025, I went, well, that would be AI and that would take you about, 3 seconds?
Yeah, but you can see through that stuff.
I know, right? But...
the elephant will end up with, five legs and...
Yeah, yeah. But you wouldn't be allowed to go away, would you? Now, people would go,
No, Al literally won a safari. Yeah.
But we love the... there's a real joy to them. There's a real, the lion and the cat sort of, bonding. It's really lovely. And it was all based on real cat behavior as well. It wasn't, they weren't all just hunting. There's one where he's like being playful and stuff like that. So,
yeah, it's great. It won a lion, didn't it? Silver lion.
Yeah, we were disappointed at that. Yeah. If I'm honest,
should have got
was in Cannes and was like, a lot of expletives from the scouts.
I quite like the cat idea wins big lion. Sorry.
Didn't, unfortunately. But as a poster, you see that as a poster, it does make you stop because
it's unusual for cat food to do something. It's just such a, like we were saying earlier about all your work, it's just a simple thought. Don't fucking confuse it with anything else and just craft it. And that's the thing I like about a lot of your work. It's a simple idea and then it's crafted and that's all, that's all.
And I'm not surprised it did win, obviously. I'm surprised it didn't get gold, but because the process of traditional posters and the how they're judged at Cannes is books of portfolios and you're scanning through with a QR code scanner and you grade something, the jury go grade 1 to 9 and it kind of things get elevated quickly. And when you've got something as simple as that, it's almost mimicking how you see it in the real world, driving down the road and seeing a billboard and I get it, understand it and it's done. So actually stuff like that does generally do well at Cannes because you can understand the idea very quickly.
And no need for film.
No, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I think it did exactly. At that time when everyone started to put in their 2-minute films for it. We didn't. We just entered it. Just entered the posters.
2-minute film for a poster. It's just unless it needs it.
Yeah, exactly.
We're
funny enough.
when we were talking outside, we should let our listeners know we have a little chat and I was saying, we like the Whiskers ads, and then but we need to get to the other work and then. The guys did actually say there's quite a lot of death coming up. So just want to warn any listeners, the cat was there to kind of lighten the mood. I mean, we've got a bit of pot noodle as well, but we are going to take a bit more serious tone. This bit of Abbott Mead, and it's The Economist. And we've had many, many guests on talking about clever white headlines out of red background. This is not one of those. And it's for the better. It's a really... controversial, brilliant, different take. And it's a digital out of home poster. So it's like a piece of moving, it's a moving story on a screen. Can you tell us a bit about this? It's all about the right to die, is that right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we wanted to, just using tech at the time, I think it was Periscope, whatever happened to that. We wanted to just show the point of view of somebody with a locked-in syndrome, just to show that this is what life was like. Just show that this is how they see every day. Unfortunately, we couldn't quite get the tech away. We wanted to literally do it for 24 hours and have nurses come in and occasionally turn them so the perspective would change. So
maybe putting them in a bath on a hoist and things like that.
Is that right? Yeah. So you want it to be like a sort of locked off shot.
Almost like a live stream.
Yeah, like a live stream of the point of view of someone with locked in syndrome.
But as it was, we just got as long as we could possibly get on a digital poster with a limited amount of movement on. So we've got to, if you watch it for long enough, there's a light movement in the lights and the curtains move or something or other. But we just wanted to put people.
It's a really dramatic bit of film. I remember it, and it was when The Economist were trying to get into debates.
Yeah, everything The Economist was doing at that time, you couldn't just make a poster up and then expect them to run it. It all had to be done with...
dramatic music. Keep that on.
It all had to be, obviously, naturally, with the stuff that they were campaigning for at the time. And, they were really campaigning for the right to die, which was like, wow, something like The Economist doing that.
Yeah, taking a stance on it.
Yeah. No, we was asking people, could you live a life like this?
And did you, when you went in, who was your ECD at the time?
I think Alex and Henry were the creative directors or the ECDs then on this one, on this piece, were they?
It could well have been.
Was it a bit out there? Was it hard to get it through? Because it's pretty...
I think the client was just so behind it. And it was a cause that they were championing at the time. So actually it was relatively easy.
And this wasn't part of the open brief that the agency had on The Economist. This is a specific thing that Economists are getting behind. It's a campaign around Right to Die.
I mean, the agency and the client were kind of, it was either we're in the red and white phase or we're something else phase. And this was joined as something else phase.
Yeah.
It's a shame we've written so many Economist posters within that. I was desperate to just get a classic Economist poster through and never got one.
Easy art direction for me. We'll take that full stop job.
Never say never. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. There may be one. I've spotted some posters.
Someone sent some to us, didn't they?
Yeah.
That they'd mucked up themselves.
Yeah. They were quite interesting.
It goes around.
You do. I mean, I think Tim Riley was. I think someone's telling me that he was still doing some. I don't know. We'll have to have a catch up on that some other time.
What a wonderful. Genius, lovely man.
Yes.
Maybe that's the competition we should run, Hugh.
Yeah.
Bring back the Economist ads and invite the entire community to...
Let's have an open brief for the entire industry.
Yeah, the entire industry gets the open brief.
We don't have to write against Tim.
just in the department, though. You just have a stack of layouts. Just...
Yeah.
Good job they weren't doing saving the trees because that would have been like totally opposite.
So we're going to change tack and going to go now jumping into potholes. I love this podcast, how we can go from sort of death to potholes.
Nothing's more important.
Exactly. You're at Adam and Eve now. You've moved from, you've just worked at so many great agencies. It's brilliant. It's Pot Noodle. Am I imagining this? Did this idea come from the headline on The Sun, which says Britain's gone to pot, or is this like a little bit of creative license?
Not at all. The brief was satisfied. It was like Pot Noodle satisfies, and it was a brief into the creative department. And I think there was X amount of routes went to clients, and one of them, Rich came up with it, had the line of nothing fills a hole like Pot Noodle. Because where I'm from, you have a sandwich before, you have something to fill you up, or to put you on, as we call it.
And
put you on. So you have food in between your food to put you on. So I'll have food to put me on for my tea.
I think it actually started life as a TV script. So it just got sillier and sillier. So it started with the pothole, and then it was kind of like people filling in a grave, and then
space station.
I think we filled a black hole in space. Yeah, and then it's kind of like
that'd be great.
But as part of it, there was to build it out. We did an activation of we'll take the most potholed street in the country, and overnight we'll fill it with potholes. And then we also did a couple of print ads, which was one was the golf hole as a rough Photoshop mock-up, and one was the postbox. And then they all went to clients, and then they chose some stuff to research, but our ad didn't make into research because it was more for TV. But I went over a pothole last week and it popped my tyre. Can you do something with the pothole things? I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, because the ad that they actually wanted to make
something
and did make
contextual really quickly, isn't it?
The ad that they wanted to make and did make was the slurp one that we wrote as well. But this was kind of like, I've got 50, 60K. Can you do me something for this?
They're brilliantly put together. Got to ask, because I know we're going to talk about Calm quite soon. How did you do it? Was it in camera?
Yeah, on a camera. Yeah.
So what am I looking at? Real pot noodle there.
Real pot noodle. I mean, they're all real pot noodles. Obviously, they were put together by art department.
Freddie shot them.
I think we shot him in two days. And like the washing machine one. So literally, it was still a working. We had to move on really quickly because we wanted Freddie to direct it as well as shoot them, but there was no time.
Right.
That's a different story. We got honoured to.
Can I say I'm filling my filling a little hole here with a flapjack?
Yeah. And we got a behind the scenes person, Honor, I spoke to Dara Payne, can we film this as well? And she went, yeah. And then Honor filmed it and stuff. And you know, it's in, I know we're talking about print. And she ended up winning a Bronze Lion, which is amazing. And she's now a director in herself. So it's fantastic. But the washing machine one, it was still in a laundrette. And there was people still, so we had a piece of cardboard and they were threading in the pot noodles. And this, you know, and then we stuck the washing machines on to add the action. Just off screen, there was an old woman who was actually doing her drying. And I bet her husband found some pot noodle in his pants and probably thought he had worms or something. Do you know what I mean? But it was literally...
It was one of those. It's one of those. What a stupid job we do. Because I remember having conversations with Freddie and then you, just kind of like, what exactly constitutes a hole? Is a bird bath a hole?
Wasn't it?
Yeah, the one in the office. How did you
the randomness of our industry? Yeah. Though is that you, one day you can be doing that, and the next day you're talking about, you know,
officially apparently a bird bath is not a hole. It's a vessel.
So how did you get? You know the one in the office, the bit hanging down, because that's one of my favourites.
We replaced the tile. We replaced the
ceiling
foam tile and put it in.
Oh,
yeah, because we, like I said, we had a debate with Shanna's, the creative director as well. We were like going, because some of the concepts were like, originally as well, we told, how far can you put it? Can you fill in a water slide? But that feels too far. But what I like, what we love about this is it feels so genuine. And I know the washing machine's quite full. But what a brave client, not just to let us fill potholes, but then we were filling washing machines. But also,
I'm sure Mark Shanley won't mind you calling him Shannon.
Shannon was the client, wasn't she? Sorry, Mark, if you're listening.
But I also thought that, because I was looking at it thinking,
this
really
was a hard
brave
shot. This one was the hardest one, you know, what, the golf one, to try and get the right angle of the getting the zebra, the zebra in, and making sure people got it. Do you have a ball in it? Do you not put a ball in it? That was quite a difficult shot to get right, that one.
Yeah.
And we even put them in a bin, you know, we put, like, there was a hippo, and we had literally the couple of, they've got them in a bin.
There's a lot of levels of craft of just stuffing pot noodles and holes.
But they're beautiful. They look beautiful. And this is the type of work we love making as well. And I probably, out of all the stuff, and I know karma is incredibly important, that's the stuff I just, people say you did that then.
Who was the photographer again on it, you said?
Freddie
Laxton.
Freddie Laxton.
Is it normally a very talented director?
Because I really like it, because there's craft. They're not just tossed away. They're really well put together as well. They're sort of ridiculously lo-fi thing.
The one thing the client said is you can't make them look like disgusting.
Because the product does actually look quite good. Yeah. I was thinking, especially one in the post box, thinking
Did they have a noodle specialist on?
Yeah,
we had somebody did noodles.
Several.
But spraying it with the kind of the gloss spray that they do.
But it was the agency were brilliant. The agency, like, were like to the client going, if you're going to do stuff for Cannes as well, I'll just do three potholes. What can we do? And and they were, the client was amazing and just went with it. And Freddie was brilliant as well. He was going, oh, what can we do this? What can we do that?
It's really clear though, because it's like, you know, you're only as good as your client. And clearly you've given them a really simple platform there and they've gone, right, let's go for it. And it really is, I can literally imagine you two laughing, going, what about this? What about that? And that's when you love a campaign, when you can tell the creatives.
I know we're talking about the billboards. I mean, but the brave client was kind of like, we want to, on the film, we said, we want to drive a car through the pothole and over the needle. Was like, fine. The only thing was too far as the one that was in the ceiling with, it was going to be in a men's room. We were going to have someone farting in there. It's like, that was just a step too far.
Okay, that's wrong. Okay, we're going to move on. It's got two more campaigns to talk about. Some more sobering, if you like. The Calm campaign. So Calm, for people who don't know, there may be people who don't know, Calm is the campaign against living miserably. And it's for a UK charity for help for men prevent suicide and for people experiencing mental health issues. So lots of brilliant work done on this. Dan and I talked to Ant and Mike at the beginning of the series, relatively, and it was Project 84.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible work. And you kind of go, as a creative person, we're never going to beat that, you know, pens down. And then what you did, have to say, is easily as good. It's called The Last Photo. It's the last photo of people before they committed suicide. It's incredibly emotionally charged, but you did it so brilliantly. Could you just tell us about it and how you got to the idea and what it was like to be involved and put it together?
I mean, it was both rewarding but also a very moving project to work on. It kind of, the brief was originally, it was about warning people about
spotting
the signs of people who might be thinking of taking their own life. I've been off Calm for a while and I'm using all the incorrect terminology there. But we and the agency dug into it, we realised that actually most of the time there aren't any signs. So it can come completely out of the blue. People are either masking it or there's just a spontaneous gut reaction that they just do and they just decide to go ahead with it. So
There's a line. Excuse me. There's a line that says suicide.
Doesn't always look suicidal. Oh. Kind of, we were just again Google searching there, and you at the time you put Google search in an image search, and it was awful. It was just kind of like people with their heads in their hands and clouds over their head. It's like, well, that's not suicide at all. That people doesn't look like that.
That's someone acting suicidal. Mm. Not.
Yeah, we tried to do a Anton Mike, you know, brilliant. That we tried to do this thing for Google where if you typed in signs of suicide or suicidal,
right,
it would change the algorithm to have people who were happy.
That's interesting.
And it was one of the things that, you know, amongst the stuff that was happening internally with briefs and stuff, and that Mike picked up and said, can you do some more on this?
So that's how it sort of started.
It's organic, isn't it? So even when we kind of got to this, we were still kind of like, well, can we put some signs in the copy? It was like, well, no, there aren't any. I mean, sometimes there are.
Right.
I think, you know, and you do get people who, there probably are signs, and don't get me wrong, where, you know, they're obviously serially, you know, they're hurting themselves and stuff. But in fact, the people on here, there weren't any signs. And they, you know, I think when people have made that their mind up that they're going to end their own life, that all of a sudden everything's okay.
Right.
They can see an end point. Okay. So all of a sudden they're sort of slightly happier, if anything, yeah. And people go, oh, they're all right.
I mean, it's often if there have been signs, then there's been a chance for intervention. Mm. It's like, well, this is the ones where there hasn't been.
Yeah.
And because I'm really interested. You go depression or sadness, and you search, and it's happy people. That's a B, isn't it? But then, how did you get to the last photo? Because the whole thing sits on those three words, doesn't it?
I think. There was a thing from Tillinder Benningham, whose husband from Linkin Park took his
right.
Was it Linkin Park? Yeah, took his own life, and it was Chester. And there was a picture of him that goes, "This was days before my husband took his own life. Suicidal thoughts where you'd never know." And he's there with his family
right.
and his kids.
Right.
It didn't matter. Concepts after concepts. We just couldn't find anything more powerful than that Instagram post.
Yeah.
Let me take a shot of that. Yeah. And then
also the Robin Williams thing as well. You know.
Yeah. Was that a moment then you go, oh, but then it becomes a structure so I can use photos? Because need to say, you know, you need an advertiser.
And through the charity, you have access to parents and loved ones who have lost their...
I mean, originally we were using just stuff from stock shots and I think the print lines were a bit, I won't say a bit more forced, but they were a bit more headline-y when we were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the involvement of the campaign.
I remember having the conversations with Will and Ant and Mike, and just saying, so we just go and ask people for the photos. And we're like, I guess we have to, don't we?
Right.
Yeah.
And there was a member as well just working on it and mocking up the concepts. And we were using found images off Google, just trying to make them just look like snapshots and everything in Getty. Yeah. And they looked identical. To this.
This is someone's 21st birthday holding a balloon.
It was just when we actually got the first time that we got a real photo in there. It was moving.
Mm. Yeah. It was incredibly moving. And like you said, we had an amazing producer, Amy Simmons. You know, I had an incredible agency behind you as well. You know, you have to do it with sensitivity. Amazing clients as well, Simon and Matt and et al.
And amazing families as well.
Families.
The people, yeah. Well,
that was something from Project 84 I saw, where they were involved with the mannequins.
Mm.
And I was really, it wasn't just an empty mannequin. It was then, you know, they personalised them.
Yeah.
Which was something really, and this is personalised really in the public.
Yeah, and asking families for the last photos of the loved ones is the most precious thing they've got, especially when, you know, they look happy, you know.
But then in a way, I suppose you... Sorry, Dan.
I was going to say, I think we're going to say the same thing. In a way, the comfort of knowing that the legacy of that person can live on through this message to hopefully prevent another one.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of closure. I mean, also with the design... with Scott, he kept everything really simple. Incredible designer, and he kept everything simple and beautiful. So it was, you know,
I mean, with these that, as well. I mean, obviously we had the exhibition, that was the main drive behind it. But with the posters, again, we'd spent months writing headlines and clever headlines. And I just remember Mike just called me up when I was on the train and said, "Look, this is you've there's some lovely Lagos Delaney style headlines here, but we just want to go back. We just want to go back to the fact. And it's like, yeah. I'm sorry about this. It's like, no, don't be apologize. That's great. It's just simplicity.
Yeah. And that's what they were brilliant at, aren't they, Mike? They just superb at things like that.
Yeah, it's an amazing campaign. Thanks. I mean, we want to give a good chunk of time on that. Have we got time for the?
We've got the last one to come. Melanoma Fund.
So I'm going to move on, and to, you know, still pretty sobering, but maybe a bit more. So I'm going to move down here. The Melanoma Fund. So this was at Neverland when we actually met, which was a lovely time. We got to know each other and work together. And so this is a series of, they're moles, aren't they, on the skin? Is that right? And they're in a certain shape of something, which becomes clearer.
Silhouettes.
The more you look at it. So just go back a beat. This was part of a Copperberg.
Started off with Copperberg.
That's right. Tell us what
happened. Drink responsibly this summer with campaign with Melanoma Fund.
Yeah. And, weren't we looking at ways to make shade on shelters and stuff and posters?
Yeah, we were trying to do something because Copperberg wanted people to drink responsibly.
Right. I remember we had conversations about it.
The
four of us.
It's a really fun campaign.
Still on bottom drawer, that one.
That's anymore. That's anymore.
Sell it to Johnny. And then we wanted to do like a special build out to highlight that fact. And we looked at writing Drink Responsibly this summer out of sort of melanoma. And the client, you know, rightly wasn't right for the brand, but we just didn't want to let that go. And in researching all melanomas, I saw some stuff that was like silhouettes that look sort of, people go, oh, it looks like a ghost. And this.
Right.
And I remember sketching and goes, well, it could be a footballer. And then it was speaking to the designer, Chris. And I said, can you try and turn this into a, see what it looks like? And then with brilliant client, Michelle, who just went, I absolutely love these. Just a few watch outs, which was like, you know, don't make them too ugly to look at. Because we wanted to make sure that they're so real that actually if people can spot them.
I think that's the key thing with this. We could have just done this in Photoshop and just, but it would have been, it could actually have done more harm than good. Yeah. So we had to make sure that they looked absolutely, they could be right and they could be melanoma, because other people were going to look at these posters and say, well, I've got something like that. And in fact, somebody working on the campaign, I don't want to go into names, but actually did find that they had from this. Yeah.
Can you tell us also, Rich, just about the line? Because I really like what you said there about the calm thing and going, just don't kind of get in the way of it. Just go back to the fact. So did you have these lines? Because it says cycling can kill, football can kill. You told me in the pub the other night when we were having our pre-pod about the line.
Yeah, I probably did, but I said a lot of things after about 4 years.
It's a bit like my darts game in the pub. Like I can remember after the first pod.
The lines. They were like melanoma.
Yeah. Check your skin.
And Rich went, no, you need to just be really honest and be really hard hitting, because like saying football can kill, you go, what? And it sort of helps the silhouette a little bit as well, which meant you could be more abstract with the silhouette.
Yeah.
So, and then it was like, wow, that's really powerful line. But as Rich, you know, we got into to create these, you know, we used James Dare. We had...
Hello, James.
Melanie, who came down, she was in between shooting 28 years later.
She was the makeup artist.
The makeup artist. Yeah. She created the melanomas. And then for every time we created the melanoma, we would send the images to Mr. Kumar, who was the specialist surgeon, and he would tell us yes, no, bit more here, bit more there. So every single thing went through the leading specialist.
Yeah.
So wait a minute, you have noodle specialists and you have doctor specialists. I love the craft that you put into your work. Do you think we should just wrap it up there?
We're going to need to do your favourite billboards, though, because as Hugh said last week, we're in the run up to our 100th episode, so we've got a big 100th episode to come. And as part of that 100th episode, we've been reviewing everyone's favourite billboards of all time. We're going to try and do a little countdown to them. So without giving too much away, it's very, very close in the top 10 of
you can tell us when we're off air again.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us now? Or
give
us
your favourite billboards.
I might have to send it. I should have done more research, but I definitely like the poster of that was done by the person who's coming on next. Amazing.
I know it's not traditional this way, but Project 84. I remember being at AMV opposite Dickon and Al, and they were like, oh, for God's sake, they've done it again. I'm talking about it to Mike, and they showed us when the PR from Project 84 came out, and I was like, I think everybody in the department because we might put our pens down now. It's just, what's the point? And I just think
and that it's part amazing. Of that. That's, I mean, the equivalent of being in a football team and you're and someone in your team's basically scored the goal of the year.
Yeah. Like, okay. on the first
but,
day.
Yeah, but you just go. I mean, it's a nice thing for you and the agency to hang the hat on, and you just go. Well, I mean, it's brilliant.
I mean,
to
it's
see
just
for your friend,
so hard to choose your favourite poster. There's so many.
It is
kind of,
okay,
like,
but to make it easy, you can have three top three. because then we can sort of grade them. You know.
All right. I mean, it'll be a personal connection. It'll be the campaign. So, the things that we worked on. So, Project 84, that was pretty amazing. Yeah. PlayStation have done some amazing things. Land Rover, that was the one thing that was working with
Hippos, wasn't it?
Mark Roll from Mike and Jerry, on that game. Not that we ever really got to do any, but yeah, the Masai is brilliant.
Masai is great. Yeah.
Just did wordless posters, and that was kind of that made us realize that a poster doesn't have to be a headline.
No, it's great. I mean, I wish we had more time. We're done. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for coming
honestly
in.
We know you're busy. Like before this recording, we were talking about work. I know you're going to leg it back now, but it's been so good. I know it took us a while. Good, it's like Guinness, good things come those way, and it's been really good. So thank you.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
That was brilliant.
That was good. Got it.
We got through a lot of work there, didn't we?
I know. I was a bit panicked at the beginning. There's some sort of family issue going on. Sorry. So we was a little bit quick there at the front. But it was good. I mean, I wanted to spend more time on the work, but we got enough, didn't we?
I think we did. We got loads. It was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. The sort of going from cat food and pot noodle to, you know, like suicide and...
But that's the beauty of our industry is that you can be working on anything. And I think that's why, some of my, I go out for a beer with friends and say, what are you working on at the moment? I'm working on this. Like, wow. Like last week you were working on a whiskey thing and now you're working on a...
It is a bit weird though, because I was chatting to Paul Jordan the other day at breakfast and we're saying it kind of leads you toward a bit scatty behaviour. I wouldn't say ADHD. But you go half an hour of this... You know, 2 hours on this, chewing gum, car, beer.
I don't know about you. I like immersing myself in a brand story at the beginning and trying to get under the skin of the brand so that you can give something authentic.
Totally.
I think it's quite nice when you get that.
Yeah.
Every few weeks you go, here's another brand for you. You're like, oh, great.
It does work. I remember working with Adam when if you work on something like, you know, a chewing gum, I'm going to say it, or a yogurt, and then work on something really serious, like, I don't know, a charity, and it really does. Your brain actually works quite well off of the two, but if there's too much, it starts to, don't know.
I had a friend reach out to me last week for something for a chain of restaurants in the US tacos. So I just had a really fun brief day with him, just like looking at nice tacos and eating Mexican food.
It's some teams, I mean, Rich and Annie particularly showed that they can turn their hand to anything and a bit real. Some teams are more like, you know, they're better on certain things. But no, it was great. It was a really good, really great episode. Thank you.
What's
Rich
been happening on Ooh, That's Nice recently?
Ooh, That's Nice. But... We are getting more and more stuff in. We had... just so much interesting stuff. Again, a bit of a mix of stuff that's just like more charity led and I don't know, stuff that's in the news.
What was that thing in our inbox with someone's made their own billboard in the...
Right, yeah, so we're going to talk about that. I'm going to get that as a guy in Dubai. And his name is, I can't remember the name, but he's made his own billboard outside his
business. He not the CEO of the company as well?
He's the CEO of the company, and he's got so sick and tired of waiting for...
He's been waiting approval for a billboard, so he just decided he's going to do it himself.
Rory McKenty. Rory, good on you, mate. So I hope he's not locked up. But
if you're listening to this in your Emirati prison, Rory, we're sorry.
We're starting a fund for you.
Yeah, we're going to start a GoFundMe to get you out.
But he did say it's very hard because when Bannum came on, we never really got that thing about quick turnaround billboards, reactive stuff.
Yeah.
So stuff we've been featuring lately, Tesco has been great. They've got stuff in Dublin, which I'm going to put up about tomatoes. You say tomato, I say tomato, and all these sauces. They have a big tomato squashed on the screen.
Nice.
There's Crosses of Hope, something that Shish got going on LinkedIn, and then meanwhile took on very important.
Yeah,
work.
I mean, thanks to View to Phil, the photography and video experts for out of home campaigns, because the stuff that they send over to us and sponsoring this segment is absolutely perfect. Yeah. We love getting the message out there and showing people what's happening,
absolutely,
in the real world.
And they really, you know, please use them, because we do get some stuff sent in, which is okay.
Yeah,
but you know, just if you just push it a bit further and get sort of a professional to shoot for you, it really helps amplify the message.
We've been quite precise with our sponsors and picky about the people that we have on the show as a sponsor. So you're about to hear the sponsors' messages. Please do listen to them. Don't stop the podcast now. It's really important that our sponsors get something out of sponsoring this podcast with Super Optimal, with View to Phil, and with our great friends at Bauer Media Outdoor. Please listen to what they have to offer. And if you do have any feedback for them directly, do reach out across our channels. But here, listen to the sponsors' messages now.
Dan.
Yeah.
Do you know what I love about outdoor?
No, there's I don't.
Loads and loads. But one of the best things, I think Hegg actually mentioned it, but you know, we're champions of this. You can't swipe it. You can't skip it. It's everywhere. It's real and it's there. And if it's done well, you know, the impact is massive.
You're saying it's omnipresent. Do you like that word?
Ooh. Swallowed a dictionary.
I think Bauer Media Outdoor really get that as well. I mean, they've got the scale as well to back that up. They've got 33,000 sites across the UK. But I think what's great is, you know, having such a big media owner on board as a sponsor is the way they help our community and brands actually use the space properly.
Yeah, and they've got tons of guidance. You know, how to craft great posters, making sure designs are not just seen, but actually remembered, which is the absolute, you know, the most important pin.
Powerful posters, if you will.
Exactly,
my friend. Really lucky. This episode is brought to you by Bauer Media Outdoor. They're one of the UK's largest out-of-home media owners. The billboard at the end of my street is brought to you by Super Optimal. Design intelligence for out-of-home. Super Optimal delivers simple, machine-driven analysis and actionable insights for reviewing and improving out-of-home ad design. Designers and media teams can quickly analyze billboard and poster designs, gain optimization feedback, and deliver out-of-home design that is fit for purpose. Test and learn. Make informed design decisions and elevate your out-of-home campaigns at superoptimal.ai.
Ooh, That's Nice is brought to you by View to Phil, the out-of-home campaign photography and video experts. View to Phil have spent a decade mastering the art of out-of-home campaign capture. They know how these campaigns run: adaptive display schedules, dynamic creatives, and high expectations. That's why brands trust them to deliver stunning photography and next-level videography. From drones to time-lapse and motion capture, View to Phil turn your campaign into powerful content that lives far beyond the humble billboard. Because out-of-home campaigns are not just about being seen, it's about being remembered and creating a legacy. Want to future-proof your next campaign? Visit View to Phil to capture the essence of your campaign. Our music is sponsored by Gas Music, delivering sound, music, and magic.
They're good, aren't they? Those two guys that do the voiceovers for those adverts. They're amazing.
One of them seems
we should probably push the budget a bit further and get some voiceover artists to do those ads for our friends.
The guy with the glasses sounds a little bit unconvincing. The other guys are natural.
Well, I think those two guys don't like reading from the scripts, and those are the times they do have to read from the scripts, right? But thanks for listening to the sponsor messages. Thanks again to our host here, Soho Radio. We're lucky to have them part of the Viral Tribe family. So if you do have a podcast you want to make, do reach out to them as well.
And Gas Music, thank you to them.
Gas Music for our lovely music.
Yeah, and we will, we're meant to be going to Gas Music's party tonight. I'm not sure if we're going
to
make it.
I've got to go to England, Wales with my American friends.
Okay, I think I'll go for a little bit, but my head's still banging a bit from my party.
Oh, you need to go and listen to those young people's tunes.
Are we going to leave it there?
Yeah, see you later.
Bye.